We now enter the largest part of the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And this is really his public ministry. And this section is divided up significantly among his teachings and then stories of his life. And the two kind of go together. They'll have some events of his life and then some of his teaching, or called discourse, times of discourse, times where he sat down and taught for an extended session. And the themes go together often in the narratives about his life and what he is teaching about here. This morning we see a narrative. This is not his teaching time yet. We'll get to that after Christmas, actually, we'll get to that. We're going to go into the season of Advent now. What we're seeing now is Jesus is calling his first disciples, calling them to come and follow him. And it's a little interesting in that the idea of having a discipleship relationship was not at all uncommon in Jesus' day. Many rabbis would have disciples who would follow them around, the idea being to imitate them, to learn from them, to copy what they did is your attempt to grow. It's kind of like the advanced degree studies then. But the way that it would always happen is there would be a master, there would be a rabbi, someone, and you would be sitting under him or learning or hearing him teach, and you would be drawn to his teaching and the way that he taught you of God or a different craft or something else. And you, as a student, would go up and humbly approach them and ask if you could follow them, if you could be their disciple. That's not the way that Jesus does it. Jesus is the one who does the calling. It's a subtle shift, but I think a very important one also for our understanding of salvation, that it is Jesus is the one who does the calling and is left to us to respond to his calling. Well, this morning, in this very brief a section here, Jesus is calling two different groups of people, to each, to come and follow him. Now, I hope that you will see, as we go through the rest of the book of Matthew, that the idea of discipleship, of following Jesus, is very important to Matthew. It's a very major theme that we see here. It's not just for the 12 disciples to be disciples of Jesus, but it is for all of us. And in fact, here is an interesting parallel from our passage this morning with the very kind of last passage in the book of Matthew. Here Jesus calls the disciples to follow him. At the very end, after his death, resurrection, as he's about to ascend into heaven, Matthew chapter 28, he calls his disciples together again and says, as he's about to ascend to heaven, he says, go. He sends his disciples out to baptize and to teach what I have taught you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He then sends his disciples out to make disciples. This morning he calls for disciples to follow him. The end of Matthew, he sends them out to go and make disciples. This whole idea of being a disciple and going forth and making new disciples is very central to the call and commands of Jesus to his people. We see here now what it means, what it looks like to begin to follow Jesus. Verses 18 and 19 start off then with Jesus calling Peter and Andrew. So he's out now by the Sea of Galilee. Remember, he's moved to the area of Capernaum now. This is where he's kind of beginning his public ministry. We saw that last week. A land of darkness. God brings the light of Christ there, in fulfillment of the prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9. He is now there and he's calling Peter and Andrew. Now, we don't know this from Matthew, but it looks like probably from the book of John, it looks like that Peter and Andrew quite possibly have encountered Jesus before this time, right? Maybe briefly, a little bit of time, different gospel writers are including different things, different events in the life of Jesus. They're also not always concerned about chronology. They're always doing when we read something, particularly about a person, we always think that it's chronological. It's just how our brains work. It's how we present stories today. It's how we present history today. It's not always the concern of the gospel writers to follow chronology. So sometimes it's difficult to understand where certain parts of Scripture fit in on the timeline here. It's very possible that Peter and Andrew, at this time when Jesus calls them, had already at least encountered him in some way, in some bit, and we don't know how much time has transpired between when he came to Capernaum to now. We don't know any of that. It's not Matthew's point in telling us any of that. He sees Peter, his name is Simon, and he's called Peter. Matthew doesn't explain that to us here. Okay, now it will become important to understand that his name is Simon, but he's called Peter. Peter means rock, and there'll be a playoff of that Jesus will use later on in the book of Matthew. But they are fishermen. There would have been a lot of fishermen around the Sea of Galilee. It's a very, very large fishing industry. It's a pretty large lake, like 8 miles across, about like 5 miles across, I believe, something to that effect. It's pretty large lake with a very flourishing fishing industry. And there they are. They are on the shore now, okay? And Jesus sees them and says, "Come, follow me." He's the one doing the initiating. He's the one doing the calling. He's the one doing commanding. And because they're fishermen, he uses an image for them that they would understand. He says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, he's not implying by that you are going to go out and try to wait patiently for people and then sneak up upon them and grab them with a net and throw them in your boat and then they're going to come and make them follow me. Let's go out and get people. No, obviously not there. But the idea of gathering in, of drawing in, of going out with purpose and intentionality, going into the world now, but it's not that you are trying to spend your time and spend your energy and spend your focus on gathering fish, but you are going to spend your time and energy and resources to go and bring other people to the Master. You will follow Jesus, and you will go and call other people to follow Jesus too. Just as I called you, you go and call others, and I will teach you this. They would have been called now to give up their life, their livelihood, to go and follow a master now, to follow what they at this point probably saw was a rabbi, probably had some little confusion as to who he is, what this life was going to entail, but it would have been a giving up of their old life and a full dedication, commitment of everything they have to following Jesus. Even if they didn't understand that, what that meant. Maybe that was your case too when you became a follower of Jesus Christ. At the moment, maybe you thought, well, maybe this is just my salvation. Believing in Jesus means going to heaven someday. Believing in Jesus means that I am reconciled with God, that my sins are forgiven. But you didn't have any idea, of course, what it meant that you would live your life for Jesus, sold out all the way. You had no idea what it would mean that he would call you and that you would now not be your own, but you would be his. Okay? Everything in life is that way. When we are called into marriage, right? We have no idea what marriage is going to bring, what life is going to bring. We have no idea the joys, the sufferings, the hardship, the glories, all of it. Cynthia and I this week have been looking back a little bit from when we've been married now for 7 years. We've known each other for 8 years now. And sorry, I got that wrong. It's 8 years, isn't it? It's been 8 years now. There's reasons I forget this stuff. All of our numbers are all mixed together. I was looking at who we are now versus then. Just the different people we are, how life has brought us. And we had no idea what would have come, what life would have brought us. Which is why, when we got married, we made vows to each other, right? We made promises to each other. Because we have no idea what's going to come. Okay, and all we can. And same thing for Peter and for Andrew here. They have no idea what's going to come. But Jesus says, follow me and I will give you a whole new purpose in life. I will change everything. I'll change your career. It's all going to change right now. Well, verse 20, we see their response. It's very simply, they follow him. At once they left their nets and followed him. There's not a lot of detail given here as to how they go about it, what they do, what that looks like. That's not Matthew's point. Matthew's point here is to show the immediacy of the response. Jesus called, and they didn't say, well, let me go think about it. Let me consider your offer. Let me go weigh my options, Jesus, and see what I think. They didn't come back and say, well, what's the benefits package like? These are all things we should do, the job offer, that's okay. But not when Jesus calls. Jesus said, come follow me. They immediately left their old life behind and went and followed him. Even if they had met him before and had had encounters or seen him before in his preaching, maybe even some miracles, when the call is issued, there's an immediate response. Peter and Andrew leave everything and follow Jesus. Well, next in verse 21, Jesus calls James and John. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, are also fishermen. And they're with their father, and they're fishing. And it says they're preparing their nets. It probably means mending their nets. They probably also have already fished for the night. It would have been a typical time for them to be fishing. They've come back, and they're getting the nets ready for the next day of fishing. And Jesus extends a call to them also. He doesn't use words here, they're not given, to say, did he also tell them they'd be fishers of men? It's not told us. It just says, he called them. And we have no other place in Scripture to know if James and John had encountered Jesus before, like we seem to have for Peter and Andrew. We don't know. This could have been the first time. We don't know if they knew Peter and Andrew and saw them follow and go, what's going on here? We don't know. It's not the point of the script of this passage here this morning. They have a career. They have a family. They have a life. And into that, Jesus comes and says, follow me. In verse 22, the last verse of our passage here, we see their response. They follow him. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Again, the point of Matthew's recounting of this event here is to show the immediacy and the comprehensive nature of their following him. Jesus calls, they didn't weigh it, they didn't consider it, they didn't hem and haw. They immediately left everything from behind, of their life behind, including family, and they went and they followed Jesus. A total commitment immediately happening. Jesus calls to follow, and the disciples, this is an example of disciples, hear and respond, and they follow. What does it mean then to follow Jesus? We see this in the disciples, and we have a picture of this from the first century. If you were a disciple, and a disciple of Jesus specifically here, means you left your profession behind. You, at least for a significant time period, left your family behind. And you physically went and you followed Jesus around. Whatever town he went to, you went with him. Wherever he slept that night, you slept with him. Wherever he ate, you ate with him. Whatever he taught, you listened. Whatever he told you to do, you did. And through this process of spending enormous time together, throughout this process of living life together, they learned from the Master. They learned how to be like the Master, how to imitate Jesus, the Master, who he was, what his character is like, what his nature is like. Not just as a person, but as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the Son of God. They saw him and they were confused, as we'll see, for so much of the time. And it was hard to understand what Jesus was really saying. It so shifted and transformed their understanding of who God is and what it means to worship God. He was changing everything as he was bringing himself to the world. And so that was their job, was to follow him and emulate him and learn from him. But what about for us? We don't have a physical Jesus to follow. So what does it mean for us to be followers of Jesus? Because that is what we are called to be. As I said, at the end of Matthew, the disciples are sent out to go make disciples. We are inheritors of their obedience to that. They went out and made disciples, and those disciples made disciples, and made disciples, and made disciples. And here we are, you and I, this morning, because they obeyed, and other disciples obeyed. In fact, in Scripture, if you are not making disciples, you're not a disciple. It is part and parcel with being a disciple, is that we then are calling others to follow our Master, Jesus, also. Well, what does it look like? What does it mean for us today to follow Jesus? Well, first, it does not mean casual, half-hearted, halfway committed life lived for Jesus. It does not mean that we come to church on Sunday morning, sing some songs, leave an offering, and then go home and follow our own heart's desire and our own way and our own will. It doesn't mean being a disciple. It's not what a disciple is. After Jesus died, and then again after he was ascended into heaven, for some of these in-between time periods when Jesus wasn't physically with the disciples, until they were waiting primarily for the Holy Spirit to descend for them to go forth, they went back to fishing for 40 days. Okay? But other than that, there was no time off. There was no, we'll come and we'll follow you on Saturdays, Lord Jesus, but then we're going to go back to fishing on Sunday morning. There wasn't a halfway. There wasn't split allegiances. Well, I have a little bit. Sure, you'll be my master, I guess, for a little bit. But then I have other masters. See what I'm saying? Being a disciple is not partial. You are either following all the way, all the time, or you're not a disciple. What does it mean to be a follower, to follow Jesus? The disciples spent time with Jesus. They listened to Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They emulated Jesus. And it's the same for us. If we are going to follow Jesus, we must spend time with our Master. That means time alone, on our knees, physically or figuratively, in prayer with Jesus, talking to Him, talking with Him. It also means time in His Word, to hear from Him, to learn who He is, His teaching, His name, His person, to know Him. If you want to know Jesus, if you want to grow in your relationship to Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus, first thing we need to do, which often is so easy that we don't do it, like if I stood up here and said and kind of packaged a new thing that was really, really hard for you to do, that if you were able to accomplish it, you would get closer to Jesus. Most of us are more likely to try that than praying and reading the Scriptures. Right? I said, we had this new pilgrimage where we are going to walk from here all the way to Jerusalem. And it's hard. But if you do that, you will be so close to Jesus. Most of us would sign up right away. Some big water shoes or something. I don't know. Same way we're getting to know anyone. Some of you have had teachers in school that you have really learned a lot from, really been drawn to, for whatever reason. The subject matter, their personality, their style of teaching, the way that they interacted with you, you were really drawn to them. And probably not so much in high school, but particularly in college or any other studies, you have the options then to take a lot of classes with them. I had a few, particularly one professor in seminary, Dr. Greg Beal, who's now at Westminster Seminary in Pennsylvania, who taught the New Testament. He taught me how to study the Bible. Okay, he was a very hard teacher. A lot of people didn't take his classes because it was very hard. I took, I think, like 6 or 7 classes with him. Every class I could take. I'm not sure I ever got an A in any of his classes. I didn't care. The man taught me the Bible. And not just the Bible, but how to study the Bible. And I loved to sit under him anytime I could, all I could, whenever I could. Okay? Occasionally, he pops up and there'll be an interview with him or something, and there'll be a video he puts up online or something like that. And I just want to watch it again, listen to him. Right? I'm going to share some with JB even too, share some of his videos and some of his teaching. And I want to, you know, and in that, I want to emulate him a little bit. Right? And the way he studies the Bible, okay? And I do that by watching him and sitting under him and listening to him and taking notes and studying what he says and doing what he says. He teaches me something and I go and I practice it. And it's the same way with us in Jesus. Okay? To sit under Jesus is to sit every day, 5 minutes, an hour, 10 hours, whatever it is, whatever it takes, with our Scriptures open, reading and studying and talking and praying to the Lord. That's following Jesus. But also, and finally, following Jesus most closely here from the Scriptures this morning involves, as I've alluded to all morning here, going and making disciples. Being fishers of men. That we, brothers and sisters, are to be about the business of evangelizing our neighbors, our family, our friends, our classmates, our co-workers, the world. We'll see this more and more in Matthew. And significantly, we as a local body of Christ are not very active in this. This is an area where we are not very obedient to the Lord. We often are not about in our daily, and at times we are, and some of us are, and praise God. I'm saying in general, as a whole, me, myself, absolutely, are not about the work of our Master of making disciples as we ought to be. That's part of our call. So therefore, brothers and sisters, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, let us today follow Jesus through prayer with Him, through spending time in His Scriptures, and through today, and particularly tomorrow, as we interact much more with the world, let us pray and ask God to give us opportunity and then enable us to share with someone who does not know Jesus about the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we pray for that? And ask the Lord to stir within us and give us opportunity and cause us to go forth in obedience for those opportunities? I know we don't know how to be evangelists and that whole idea, but let us do the work of an evangelist as God leads. If you're here this morning and you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, hear, maybe the first time, maybe for the 100,000th time, the call of Jesus. He says, he comes right into the middle of your life and says, come, follow me. And he's not just a human master. He's not just a human teacher. He is God Almighty who goes to the cross to pay for your sins. And when you heed his call to come and follow him in faith, your sins are forgiven. And he brings you into his family, adopts you. He is our master, our king, our Lord, our Father. Come and follow Jesus. And let us, by God's help and grace, follow Jesus all the way. Let's pray. Lord, you are the master. And we are your servants, your friends, your children. Father God, we pray that we would follow you all the way, Lord. Pray you remove any distraction, that we would not just be Sunday Christians, because there's no such thing. And I pray that we would not be Christians who stop sharing the gospel, stop making disciples, because then we are not disciples either. May we go all the way, Father, every step of the way with you, looking to you and obeying you, a wonderful Master. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.